As Pastor said, my name is Raekwon Bennett, and me and my wife, Carla, we serve as the outreach pastors here at Destiny. So in case you're wondering who the guy up here with the receding hairline is, just want to introduce myself. Amen. Hey, y'all laughing. Hey, you be there one day. So before I jump in, I just want to start off with just the intro. I just want to start off by saying that we can't work our way into the kingdom of God. Let's get that, you know, right off the bat. We can't work our way into the kingdom of God. However, if we don't have works at all in our lives, that should be a red flag. If we're not displaying any type of works, that we have a relationship with Christ, that should be a red flag. Jesus said in Revelation 22, verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. Right. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, Paul says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So there's two verses there that's talking about works. So I'm just kind of setting this up before we dive in. So real authentic faith in Jesus will display works in our life that goes against woke culture. Yep, I'm going there today. Real authentic faith in Jesus Christ will display works in our lives that go against culture. If we don't have that flowing in our lives, something is wrong. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the talents and how one servant took his talent and he buried it, right? So can you imagine standing before God, on Judgment Day and trying to explain to him, Lord, I gave my life to you, but I did nothing. I didn't have a prayer life. I didn't encourage my brother or my sister. I didn't share the gospel. Those are all works. So imagine standing before God on that day, because when we read in Matthew 25, Jesus said, take that wicked servant and throw him into outer darkness where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Amen. So I'm going to have you all stand to honor the reading of God's word. And we're going to be in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. James 4, 1 through 8. When you're there, say, go Michigan. I got a couple. When you're there, say, oh, yeah. There we go. That's better. All right. All right, here we go. James 4. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your past scripture says he yearns jealousy over the spirit that he made us to dwell in? Verse 6. But he gives more grace. Therefore, it says God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's another key verse there. God opposes the prideful, right? But he gives grace to the humble. Amen. Verse 7. Cement yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. In verse 8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And by the way, who is James talking to here? Exactly. So I just want to just kick us off with prayer. Father, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for this church, Lord. I thank you for those who are watching online and listening by podcast, God. Father, I pray that your word this morning will penetrate our hearts, God. I pray that we will look more like you. Father, I pray that we are not here this morning just to check a box, God. But Father, I just pray that we long for more of you, God. I pray that your word would truly transform our hearts and transform our minds this morning, God. Father, we are not here to check boxes. We want to look more like you. Like John said, we must decrease and you must increase. So, Father, I pray that you will have your way in this place. Have your way, Lord, in our hearts and our minds, Lord. We want to leave this place looking more like you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. You may be seated. So there are four works that James, the enemy of God. Jesus said, you are not of this world. If you was of the world would love you. Church, if majority of the people that we come across, neighbors, family members, coworkers, if everyone we are around love us, that's a problem. I'm going to say it again. If every single person that we are around, they love us, they love to hang around us, that's a red flag. Because that means at some point the gospel haven't been brought up at all. Because if you've been saved long enough, you will ruffle some feathers. You will. I'd have been cussed out. I'd have been threatened over these 13, 14 years. It will happen. Now, I'm not saying that we should go out looking for that. But Jesus said that they hated him, they will also hate us. No servant is greater than his master. Amen. So unfriending the world also means to unsubscribe from certain things. I'm going there this morning. So if we got certain channels that we follow on YouTube, that's friendship with the world, right? If we're watching certain shows on Netflix, on Hulu, on HBO Max, which shouldn't have HBO Max anyway, but if we are partaking in certain things like that, that is considered friendship with the world. And just a little side note, just for free right here. If you are going to watch certain shows, download VidAngel. It's $10 a month. It's worth it. If you want to watch certain shows, download that. That way you have a covering, so it's not F-bombs and sex and all this other stuff in the show. That was for free, by the way. Just have to throw that up in there. So, church, my friends are everyone in this room. That's my friends, right? And I'm not saying that we are supposed to cut the world off, right? Because Jesus said we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the world. So we can't flat out cut the world off. However, we should have a long distance relationship with the world. We should. We shouldn't let people that's in the world who's not serving the Lord, we shouldn't let them invade our hearts. Sadly, when we look around the American church on average, most Christians, look at their friends. I'm not talking about here, I'm talking about all the other places like Pastor Eric always say. But on average, look around. It's a lot of Christians that I know, and you look at their friends and you like, man, how are you hanging out with these people? People that's talking about sex and who they slept with last week and talking about drugs. I haven't really looked into this one. Heard a little bit about Chick-fil-A. I ain't really looking into it. And we see all this stuff that's going on with this pride stuff, and it's just eating the culture up, man. And it's sad that unsaved people are speaking out more against this than the church. I'm not saying no one is speaking out, but in large, I see a lot of like YouTube videos and on Twitter, it's a lot of people that's not saved that's being bold and speaking out against this demonic agenda while the church is silent. Are we bold to say God created male and female and marriage is between one man and one woman? Church, that is a work. Are we bold to speak out against abortion? That's a work. Are we bold to speak out against the butchering of our kids that's going on in our country? Church, that is a work. And all of these things should be on display in our lives. Part of being saved, God didn't save us to sit back and chill and be silent. I'm going to say that again. God didn't save us to sit back and chill and be silent. Now, if the Lord is highlighting something to us, say for a coworker or a neighbor, or the Lord wants us to post something on Facebook or make a video, I mean, it may look different for everyone, but you see where I'm going. And if we cower away because we are afraid of the consequences of the world, that is considered friendship with the world. Now, it's one thing if we've been praying for a person's soul, we've been interceding for a person, for a coworker or a neighbor, but just sitting back silent, not doing anything, that's wrong. And I'm preaching to myself today, too. So I believe what James is saying here, he's not talking about, you know, evangelizing people. I believe what James is talking about, friendship with the world, he's talking about playing a double agent. through the week. You know, it's kicking with my friends, it's drinking, it's aligning with the world views. And then on Sunday morning, now I'm holy again, right? I believe that's what James is talking about. We can't play a double agent. Going against the flow of the world is a work. So like, who else seen the show The Chosen? Okay, about 25%. So on the intro of the show, it shows the fish all going in one direction, right? And then slowly you see them turning the other way. Those who are saved, you go against the grain. The moment that Jesus set us free, we are to go against the grain. We are to go against the flow of this demonic culture. And that is a work. So point number two, submit to God. So looking back at verse 7, submit yourselves to God. Some of your translations probably said humble yourselves. Submitting to God is a work. Submitting to God is daily saying, Father, your will be done, not mine. That is a work that must be on display in our lives. It's choosing daily to do it God's way and not our way. That's what it means to submit to God. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells the parable of the sheep and the goats, right? The sheep displayed the works of the Father. The goats displayed the works of the flesh. So when we're serving Christ, right, we're going to show works that we belong to Christ. But when we're serving our flesh, it's going to be works of the flesh, right? Is this making sense? So Jesus told the sheep in Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you fed me, right? When I was naked, you clothed me. But he told the goats, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was naked, you didn't clothe me. So side note here, it's giving and giving to missions considered a work. I say it's not a trick question. It's considered a work, right? So it's important that we understand that all of these things must be on display in our lives. We can't say we have a relationship with the Lord and we don't submit to God and we don't give. I mean, we can question if we ever encountered God to begin with. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's just something to think about this morning. And also, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die sometimes. I die on Sundays. I die on Wednesday nights. Paul said, I die daily, right? So part of submitting to God is dying to ourselves every single day. And that takes works on our part. It's not just I said yes. I repeated a prayer from a pastor and I said yes. And now I just come every Sunday and sit in the seat. And I know you're going to keep hearing this throughout this sermon, but there must be works on display in our lives. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he said, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. Father, your, another way of wording it, Father, your kingdom come, your works be done. Every day are the works of the Lord flowing through our lives. When we go to work, are we asking the Father, Father, your kingdom come, your will be done. When we go to the workplace, do we display our works or do we display his works that flows through us? Another example of submitting to God is King David. King David would often inquire of the Lord. He would often ask God, okay, Lord, the Philistines over here, do you want me to go whoop on them? He didn't word it like that. That's the Raekwon Bennett translation, but y'all know what I mean. He would often inquire of the Lord, right? So what is that? That's submitting to the Lord. That is a work of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 38 through 39, you heard that it was said an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other one also. So quick story here. I know I have a lot of stories about the workplace. Bear with me. So this probably was about 7 or 8 years ago at my old job. And whenever we would have downtime, we have like rings that we put around the glass So whenever we would have downtime, I would punch the rings, like working on my boxing. I was bored, you know, the line was shut down. My supervisor didn't care. So it was this guy. He noticed me from the other line, and he started to tell people that he had knocked me out. Didn't do nothing wrong to him. I'm minding my business. And, you know, the rumor got around. I ignored it. So then the guy made his way around to me. He came over to my line. He said, "Hey, Quan, those rings don't hit back." Now, I wish this was a different ending and I would have turned the other cheek. But sadly, that day I didn't. So when he said that to me, and this true story, when he said that, I was like, "Hey, dude, look, you know, I don't got no problems with you. I'm over here minding my business." He kept going. I said, "I'll tell you what, we can go downtown to Drake's gym after work, and I will rent the gym. I will pay for it, and we can get in that ring, right?" Church, don't do that, right? That's the wrong way. That's not turning the other cheek. So that's why I shared that story. I failed there. And the Lord, he you know, the Lord convicted me, man. He really got on me heavy on that. And when I got home that day, I told Carla about it. And, man, I love my wife. She was like, you're wrong. You was out of line. I'm telling her, like, man, he came over to me. She was like, you know, the Bible says turn the other cheek. So I went into prayer. And the next day I walked up to that guy and I apologized. And of course, you know, people in the row, he's like, yeah, that's right. You better apologize. And it took everything in me. But the Bible say the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. So the Lord is our strength. Come on. Oh, come on. I know y'all been there on some level. Come on. Come on. I know I ain't the only one. Amen. So when we turn the other cheek, we're displaying a work of the Lord. We got to understand that that is a work from the Lord that's flowing through us. When we turn the other cheek, when we love our enemies, that's a work. See, church, that's how we got to look at this, right? James said faith without works is dead. So if we don't have works to line up with our mouths that we say we believe in Jesus, that should be a red flag, right? So moving along to point three, resist the devil. Also in verse 7, James, you know, he mentions resist the devil, right? So, church, I got a question for us. Whose job is it to resist the devil? Ours, exactly. So resisting the devil, it takes work on our part. And I think this is where the American church, where we're like, where we really don't get it. We think that the moment that we say yes to Christ, that it's not, that it's no battle. Like pastor often say, we are born into a war. So daily we got to resist the devil, right? It says resist the devil and he will flee. So just to mention, we can't resist the devil without an active prayer life. If we don't have a prayer life, if God isn't our source, if our prayer closet is vacant and not occupied, we're in trouble. We can't resist the devil without a prayer life. That's critical. So what does the word resist means? It means to withstand, to hold out against, to combat, to counter, right? We read when Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, what did he counter the enemy with? Prayer, the word of God, right? Man shouldn't live off of bread alone, but every word of God, right? So that's a counter. And also the word resist means to endure, to outlast. Church, spoiler alert, the devil will come every single day. If not him direct, one of his minions, some demon, every single day he's going to come. But the question is, will we resist him or will we just sit there in a corner and just allow him to dominate our minds? We have to resist the devil. Resisting the devil is a work. So Paul says to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the Lord. So when the devil comes and try to bring junk and you know, put junks in our minds, we have to resist that, right? We have to take every thought captive. We can't take thoughts captive by just sitting there and crying, right? And I'm not saying this to sound harsh this morning. We have to fight back. And that's mentally, we got to resist the devil, and then physical with our lips, we got to tell Satan, shut up. I have been born again. I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God, right? We got a battle. We got to rage war. Because, church, we see it, man, going on in our nation. The enemy is picking Christians off one by one. Slowly, we're seeing, well, I should say fast, we're seeing a lot of Christians fall to this demonic woke agenda. And it's heartbreaking. So let's take a look at Genesis 4, verse 7. And this is God talking to Cain once Cain's offering was rejected by God. You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and become its master. So from the beginning, look at what God told Cain. You must subdue it and become his master. That sounds like a work to me on our part. We got to be willing to fight. And then, you know, if it's something that is kicking our tail, are we willing to pick up a phone, pick up our phone and call a brother or a sister? Are we willing to do that? Or will we just sit there and be dominated? See, I didn't learn that the hard way. It was times where I was struggling with finances and how I was spending my money. And I thought, oh, I got it. I can subdue this on my own. And it caused problems. But then it was times where I confessed to pastor. I, you know, went up to Brother Dylan. I went up to Brother Jason. And by doing that, they helped me subdue this thing that was trying to overtake me. Amen. So another example. I remember this was years ago. I had some family members come over. Hey, if you're watching online and you figure out it's you, hey, that's on you. I ain't saying no names, but hey, I'm not apologizing. So these family members came over and they brought some movies. And I didn't ask them, like, you know, what they brought. And it was some horror movies, right? So they put it in the DVD player. That's how you know this is a while ago, right? Who watches DVD, right? Well, okay, Jason do. But, all right. So the thing is, when they came over, they put in a horror film, and I sat there and watched it. And I felt the Lord on the inside, like, what are you doing? Get up right now and turn that DVD player off. And I cowered out, you know. And I was looking at Carla. She's sitting there. She just, her eyes is getting real big. She's looking like, get up. But I didn't, you know. So why am I sharing this story? That was a moment for me to resist the devil and get up and cut it off. And if those family members had a problem, I could have told them, hey, you can get out. I can resist you and you flee. How about that? Right? So it's important, church, that we resist the devil and he will flee from us. So say someone, you know, invites you to the movies and you didn't check the parents' guide and you began to see F-bombs in the film and all sorts of, you know, disgusting things, get up and walk out. I don't care if it's Auntie Susie or Uncle Derek. Hey, be like, hey, I'm not watching this. I'm gone. I'm resisting the devil. I don't want to partake in this, right? Because those things can do harm to our spirit. We got to understand that a lot of these things are open doors to the demonic. So just, you know, just wanted to mention that this morning. Come on, man. We can't be cake batter and serving Jesus. Come on. We can't be soft. That's the version that the culture have created, this soft, watered down Jesus that accepts everything with no works on display. Right. But that's not the Jesus of the Bible. So point number four, draw near to God. Looking back at verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. So do we draw near to God by faith alone? It's another question. Do we draw near to God by faith alone? No, exactly. It takes works on our part. So another question. Is our physical bodies part of prayer? Amen. So that's why the writer of Hebrews says, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise, right? That means our body is part of that, right? So, yeah, we can, you know, set some worship music and I'm not saying that it's not time to be silent in our time in prayer because we got to allow the Lord to speak. But if we just sit for, let's say we set 45 minutes aside to spend with the Lord and we just sit with some music playing with our eyes closed, that's not drawing near to God. I'm just being real. Now, if you have a moment where you sit and you just listening to the Lord, please, like, hear me on this. Of course, that's important. We got to allow the Lord to speak to us. But if we're praying every single day and there is no fruit, there is no words coming out, there is no battle, right? Something is wrong with that picture. So that's why it says, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise. So worship. Worship is a work, right? When we worship at home, when we worship here on Sundays or Wednesday nights, that's a work. So I'm sorry, I got to go there this morning. Statue worship is not a work of the Lord. What I mean by that, standing there stiff with our hands in our pocket is not worship. Right? The Bible tells us to lift up a shout. The Bible tells us to dance. It tells us to clap. It tells us to sing. We can't do all those things stiff. Right? Now, I know there are exceptions. You know, it may be some medical things going on, and that at this current moment, you can't. I completely understand that. But I guarantee the vast majority in the American church don't have those issues. Right? And I just think that we have allowed culture to invade and tell us what worship is or what love in the Lord is or what it looks like to follow God. Right. So that's why you see us up here on Sunday mornings like, come on, man, you know, let's shout, let's dance, let's clap. Right. Because, church, what do we think heaven is going to look like? It's 24/7 worship. It ain't going to be no stiff G.I. Joe worship in heaven. Right. It's not. Y'all remember those old stiff toys? They barely, you know, barely bend. Come on, man. We shouldn't look like that on Sunday mornings. Come on. Come on, man. Amen. So worship is a work. As Pastor Eric often says, we should worship until we feel heaven come down. You know, it's been a lot of times, you know, with drawing near to God, it's been times where I didn't feel a thing. It's been times I pressed in, didn't feel nothing. And that's okay, because remember, it's not about us, it's about him. However, we should never let that deter us from going to the prayer closet just because we didn't feel nothing, just because we didn't get the goosebumps or the chills, right? The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. So I have another question for us. Do we go out of our way to draw near to God? You know, sometimes we have to leave and drive to a park. Sometimes we may just have to get in the car, sit in a garage or something. I don't know. That may look different for everyone in here this morning or listening online. But do we go out of our way to draw near to God? You know, a lot of us in here this morning and watching online, we work 30 plus hours a week, which we should. We should get up and go to work. The Bible says a lazy man don't eat. But my question is, how much time are we clocking in with God? How much time do we spend with the Father? Right? Because we go to work for a paycheck to take care of our families. Right? But are we going to work in a secret place? Are we spending that time with God? Are we raging war for our nation? Are we crying out for our family members to be saved, for our community to be saved? Or is God just getting the leftovers at the end of the night? You know, church, we really have to ask ourselves that question. Is the work of prayer displaying in my life? Every day, am I spending time with the Lord? Right? We can't afford not a single day off, because we know the enemy is working, right? Nonstop. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. Who is he devouring? The weak. I remember years ago, I had a dream. In this dream, it was like this, like a watchtower. I'm trying to explain it the best way I can. So in this dream, it was this huge field, and it was a lot of Christians in the field. And the ones that were praying, they stayed within like a certain safe zone. And what the enemy was doing from this tower, he was trying to lower Christians away from the safe zone so he can snipe them. And I noticed Christians slowly began to get out of that safe zone because they wasn't praying. And as they did that, the enemy began to pick them off. He began to snipe them, right? So the moment that we stop drawing near to God, we're easy prey for the devil. So You know, the important thing is drawing near to God is considered a work in our life. So I want to close with this morning. Question. Did the disciples in the Gospels, in the book of Acts, did they display works instantly the moment that they were saved? Were there full works on display in their lives? So my question is, what is going on in the American church? How is it that we feel like we can say we have a relationship with the Lord with no works on display? How can we say we have that relationship if we're friends with the world? How can we say we have that relationship if we're not resisting the devil? How can we say we have that relationship and we don't submit to God? How can we say that if we don't draw near to God, right? So we read in Acts and we see the disciples, man, they were on fire. You've seen how they were casting out demons. They were healing the sick. They were preaching the gospels. They were laying hands on people, people being filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Those same works should be on display today in our lives. And I'm not saying that to beat anyone up here this morning. You know, this is all being said out of love. So once again, Jesus didn't save us to be statues. We're not saved to check boxes and just come and sit on the seat. That's not why Jesus set us free. We were born again to be fire starters, to display the love of Christ, to sharpen each other here in this body, right? And to be a light that stands against darkness. You know, we can talk about how bad it's getting, but my question is, what are we doing? I love what Brother Dylan prayed a while back on Wednesday night. Do we take ownership for those who God have put in our circle of influence? Do we take ownership? Do we have that mentality of, Lord, at this job, I'm taking ownership of the people that's in darkness, and I'm going to go and shine the light. I'm taking ownership of my neighbors. I'm taking ownership of my family members that's not saved, right? It's not on just the people you see up here with a microphone or just on the leadership. It's on every single person that's been born again. Amen. So do we have works in our lives, or are we box checkers? These are just questions. How can we say we love the Lord, but there are no works to show for it? And I'm going to close with this verse. Jesus said, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. We can't show the works of the Lord without the spirit. I'm going to say that again. Now, I know that the moment that we're saved, we receive the spirit upon salvation. But Jesus is talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? Look at Peter in the Gospels and then look at Peter in the book of Acts after Acts chapter 2, right? He was empowered. So as we close this morning, going to have you all stand. I just want to close with going after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, we can't have the works of God on full display in our lives.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. This message and other resources are available at destinydayton.com.